Now we go back to school. And now we go back to work. And some of us, maybe we go back to nowhere. I don't know. School, I hope you're working. I hope you're studying. I don't like you to stay home. You have to do something. But the practical challenge to me is, who is going to notice that you are the mighty individual of the Lord Jesus? One thing that will display it is that you're not ashamed of Christ. They shall not be, these are the arrows, you know, here we go, the arrows. But they shall not be ashamed. If there was a true mighty man of Christ, I could say it was the Apostle Paul. Oh, there were plenty. He had the three. He had the three privately, you know. He had Peter, John, and James. But he has one that exceeded all, if I can say it respectfully. It was the Apostle Paul himself, which I certainly like to think that he was the mightiest of them all. You know what he stood for? I am not ashamed. And I'm going to challenge you, when you go back to school, when you go back to work, make it known you are a Christian. Let people know that I am not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in our days, in 2015, they ask, are you a Christian? Yeah. You know, I'm serious. You hear it all the time. We don't want to come direct and say, well, I am Christian, saved by the grace of God. We just want to say, yeah, I was born Christian. Well, I'm not asking if you were born. Nobody is born Christian. If there is a work of God in your own soul, you make it known. When the arrow is in the hand of the mighty man, there is something that was generated in their own soul. They're not ashamed. I am not ashamed. And Paul, when he was exhorting a young man like Timothy, he says, be ye not ashamed. And if you have a desire after 2 days to live for God as a mighty individual, I beg you, even tonight, don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make it known that he is dear to my own soul. And when somebody jokes about him, when somebody makes fun of him, I expect you to stand as a mighty man, as a mighty woman, and say, don't speak about my Savior this way. You have every right to say it. I'm telling you, there's something that we need to allow the Spirit of God to form in us. You look at, Christianity is not a religion, but you look at other religions, if they drew something disrespectful about their prophet, I am telling you, the world is turned upside down about it. And probably a lot of the chaos that we are observing and witnessing in France and other lands is due to people that made a little joke about a certain prophet. They are willing to turn the earth upside down. And I'm not telling you to be violent, God forbid, because Christianity is love. But don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus, and don't go along with the jokes of this world that make fun of my Lord and your Savior. They are not ashamed. And what's the end result? And they shall face the enemy. They shall speak. The scripture says it's not only faith, but they shall speak to the enemy. What are you going to speak to the enemy? You're going to speak to him. You know what? There are some people that might stop you, or in college there might be, you know, sometimes we talk about Jehovah's Witness coming to the door, but some of you might face somebody like this at college, at school, at work. I don't know. These are the enemies of the cross of the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to say this, and please forgive me. If you're not acquainted with the scripture, don't speak to nobody. If you're not acquainted with the scriptures, don't speak. But when the psalmist is saying, and they shall speak to the enemy of the gate, these arrows have been molded in the hand of the master. In the hand of the mighty one. That now they have been acquainted with the word of God. We've been crying, we've been begging for years for every one of you to be acquainted with the word of God. Because it's the only means that God has given to us to be able to speak to the enemy, to face the enemy. After all, if there is any change that will come to any soul, it is through the words of the Word of God. Are you willing to be? It's challenging, right? Are you willing to be molded by the mighty man and make you an arrow for his use? Where once you are really in his hand, you will stand for him regardless of the circumstances because you will not be ashamed. Are you willing to acquaint yourself with the scripture? We've been asking, we've been begging, we've been exhorted to read the scriptures as much as the Lord will give us opportunity. It is then when I acquaint myself with Jehovah, when I acquaint myself with the Word of God, I will have the ability, through the help of the Spirit of God, to speak. And lastly, is the sword of Solomon. You know, many of us will understand that that bed is where Solomon rested. And I'd like to suggest that's the bed of Solomon. That's where Christ, everything that of Christ, practically, is in this book. This is the bed. If I want to call it this way, with all reverence, this is the bed of Christ. This is what all I need to know about Christ is here. But there is 60. I said the first word is what? 60. Let me tell you, I'm a man that believes in numbers. You know, earlier somebody asked why 3 and what's number 1 speaks of. And, you know, there is a godly brother, Brother F.W. Grant. He loves numbers as well. And you know what? You bring any number in the scripture and he'll give you something that he has gleaned from the Word of God as to this number. 60 to me is 10 by 6. What's the number of 6? If I ask, what's number 6?
The number of men.
Number of men. Number of evil, right? And number 10? Say it again. Responsibility. So what's the first lesson? Despite the evilness and the dark days we're living in, we're responsible to live as mighty men. Although it is so wicked out there, there are certain things I have to confess before you. We've been talking amongst ourselves. We would have never dreamed that we'll be living to witness these things. It's evil out there. For the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. But wickedness does not take away my responsibility. In the day of wickedness, in days of evil, I'm responsible to stand for God. I'm responsible to act as a mighty man. But these mighty men, what's the second word I said? I said the first we're going to discuss is the number. The second word? Hold. That word hold now. It's not like, okay, like we hold the Bible. Everybody can hold the Bible, right? This is not what the words speak. I'm going to give you a verse that is going to amaze you. It's the same word. The holding is, that word is not like everybody can hold the sword. Okay, of course everybody. Everybody can hold the sword. But the word of that word holding, as far as Solomon is concerned, is that doesn't let go. That's the word holding. It doesn't drop from you. It doesn't get away from you. It doesn't get out of your hand. Let me give you the verse to support that. It is exactly the same word. So when you look at the word hold, you're always helpful to go to the first time it's mentioned. You know what's mentioned? Genesis 22. The ram that was caught, that word caught, is the same word as the hold, by its thicket. Now let me ask you this. Do you think that ram could have escaped the thickets that God has bound him there? You think that ram was able to flee? Was able to let go? Was able to run away from Abraham? It was impossible. Because it was tied by divine power. It was there as a substitute for Isaac. It's the same word as being caught. That word hold means you never let go of the sword.